Blog Talk Radio.
From the Lord, all I need is a touch from Jesus. All I need is a touch from the Lord. All I need is a touch from Jesus. All I need is a touch from the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. All you need is a touch from the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from the Lord. All I need is a touch from Jesus. All I need is a touch from the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from the Lord. All we need is a touch from Jesus. All we need is a touch from the Lord. All we need is a touch from Jesus. All we need is a touch from the Lord. All I need is a touch from Jesus. All we need is a touch from the Lord. All I need is a touch from Jesus. All we need is a touch from God. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace and goodwill to all men. Christ is born in Bethlehem, Judea, the old city of David. And we thank God for bringing Jesus into this world for our salvation, for our deliverance, for our healing. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born in the old city of David, Bethlehem, Judea, and the shepherds watching their flocks by night, they got the news first, and then they went to greet the baby Jesus. Oh, yes, this season is about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for this season where we are right now, and it's a blessed period when we remember the death of Jesus Christ, you know, was born to save us from our sins and to redeem the whole world. We thank God for remembering us, the greatest gift to mankind. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And that is the season where we are now. Everybody knows that. But God gave us a message today to the whole world about marriage, home, and family. Very important, because this is the core of our nation. This is the real nucleus of our country. And it is the families, the homes, that make up a whole nation. It is the home, the family, the marriages that make up a whole nation. So when the home is sick, the marriage is sick, family is sick, you know, you can't do much. And that's why there's so much confusion today, and there's so much problem. We need to look at this topic once again, because it's very, very important that our various homes and families and marriages to be strengthened. If you look around the world today, you see there's so much chaos. Holy Spirit, bless your people today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You look around the world today, there's so much confusion, and so much problems, and a lot of things are happening. The homes, the marriages, and the family, if they are put aright, a lot of things, confusion we see now, will not be there. There's so much problems because children are not well brought up, not well trained. I remember Bishop T.D. Jakes talking about absentee fatherism. No, only the mother is there to bring up the child. The fathers are gone. You know, it shouldn't be that way. It should be father and mother taking care of the child. Very important. There's so many dysfunctional homes, dysfunctional families. It shouldn't be that way. And you look around, there's so much divorce and separation. This is not God's intent. God didn't intend that marriages should be sick and homes and families should be dysfunctional. That's not the plan or program of God. God instituted marriage in Genesis when he created the whole Garden of Eden and created the whole world. He now put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to make them love themselves and work together and live as a home and as a family to do things for the Lord. As we look at that, we find that there is something I discovered today as I was getting ready for this broadcast. There was this situation. Adam was on one side of the garden, and then Eve was on the other side of the same garden. And the Bible says that God came in to visit them at intervals in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. Then in Genesis chapter 3, you saw the serpent, Satan entered into the serpent and then came to tempt Eve and made Eve to submit. And Eve disobeyed God and then went to Adam, convinced Adam, and both of them fell. And then both of them disobeyed the instructions of God, and God was angry and sent them packing out of the Garden of Eden. That's where problems began from. From the home, from the family, from the marriage, the problem is now there. And God, in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of Adam and Eve, God cursed, the serpent cursed the earth, and then cursed man, and then cursed Eve. It's not supposed to be so. We are supposed to be blessed. But thank God, Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. So we receive Abraham's blessings. You know, we receive Abraham's blessings. We don't have the curses on us because we are the seed of Abraham. And Jesus had come to shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And by his stripes we are healed. And as we look on, we find that in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to the end, it talks about the submission in the home. Submit yourself one to another. And then the husband is the head of the house. And then the woman is the helpmeet. The world of today have tried to redefine marriage to be something else, even though the Bible had already speculated what marriage is all about. In the beginning, God created them male and female. It's male and female. It's man and woman. And that's how it's supposed to be. But the world of today, they are redefining marriage to be something else. And that is the reason for the teachings of today. They try to redefine marriage to be something else. It's not going to be that. You can't change God. You know, what God has joined together, no one can put asunder. What God has said, you're not going to change it. You're not going to redefine marriage to mean something else. Marriage is man and woman. That's what God said in the Word of God, and it has been like that in the book of Genesis. Until the people of Sodom and Gomorrah tried to do something else, they started doing homosexualism and lesbian. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 19, from verse 4 to 29, you see the people of Sodom and Gomorrah practicing wickedness. See, Genesis chapter 19, from verses 4 to 29, they practice wickedness. They try to do sexual perversion, inordinate ambition, you know, dirty things. Why don't they get married and stay with their wives? It was Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, welcome, Mama. God bless you, ma.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we have Evangelist Lawa, Lainka Landau of the Saint Christ Church International. God has been using her to preach the Word of God, evangelizing, teaching people the Word of God. God using her mightily. She run children program at the church, youth fellowship, and children fellowship in the church, and she does a lot of prayer and counseling. You know, so she's a great blessing. She has been teaching the Word of God wherever she has the opportunity. And so tonight she's going to be sharing with us too. So, Mama, you are welcome.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Yeah. So we're going to let Evangelist Alainka Lawal to take over now and tell us something about this same topic, marriage, home, and family. How can we improve these things? How can we, what message do you have for the present generation? What can they do to live better instead of too much divorce and separation, dysfunctional homes, and a lot of confusion in homes and families today. What can we do to improve this situation? Over to Mama Lawa.
Okay. I'm coming, sir. Christian home.
Yes.
Christian. Mm-hmm. We are talking about Christian home, which comprises of both the marriage and the share bearing. So
yes.
I will be reading, I'll be opening now and be reading for us about Christian home, which
yes.
I didn't know I'm going to teach here tonight. I could have opened it before, but it won't take me more than 5 minutes. The Christian home marriage is a ministry of, it's a ministry, Christian home and Christian marriage. They are ministry of God, both Christian
yes.
marriage and Christian home. Okay, we will look at Christian home today, which comprises of Christian marriage, and we look later on about Christian home. Let's see, I'm going to open it from my book, Psalm 209. It says about Christian home.
Yes.
Christian church cannot flourish without the Christian home.
Christian yes.
home is the backbone of the nation,
yes.
the source of civilization. Christian home is an institution. Where parents are bound together by Christian love. There
yes.
must be love in Christian home. Where children are welcome and scripturally instructed. Children in homes must be instructed well. And the Lord Jesus is not only the head of the home, but actual head. We have parents and children gathered daily for family worship.
Yes.
Christian home, parents and children must gather daily for family worship.
Christian
home is a place where members of the family enjoy rest, privacy, and sense of security. They must learn to walk, play, and pray, and plan together. Four things they must learn to do. To walk together, to play together, to pray together, to plan together. Christian home is one in which the members learn to regard one another as having equal rights. Where loyalty, honesty is expected, and they must cooperate with each other and learn from each other, and there must be joy among the Christian family. Christian home is one that radiates Christ. They must welcome strangers and dispense hospitality. Christian home consists of God-fearing father, God-fearing mother, and God-fearing children.
Amen.
So that can be found in Genesis 18, verse 12. It's one of the best teachings in the Bible of a Christian home. This is first done by Abraham. Abraham has success in the home. God granted Abraham a great responsibility concerning his home. God-fearing father. Husband is the head of the home. Genesis 18, verse 19. Abraham connected his household, commanded his household faithfully. The household includes the wife, the children, and the servant. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. This is God's order. And the home that reverses it breaks God's plan and destroys the peace of that home. The wife is a helpmeet to the husband by his side. The husband's duty is to love the wife. Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This isn't mere respect. This is tremendous love, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Loving in health, in sickness, in poverty, and prosperity. It's not when things are going on find alone. The husband must be faithful to the wife. We live in an age of moral laxity, easy divorce, and infidelity. This God does not want this. The standard of God have not changed. God still demands honesty, frankness, and faithfulness between partners contracting marriage. The husband's duty is to comfort his wife in times of sorrow. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8. He ought to consult his wife on business matters, for they are a team. Two have become one, a single unit. Genesis 31, verse 4 to 7. Jacob's wife rightly replied in verse 16, of Genesis 31. Whatever God has said unto thee, do. Because we are yours. So the wife tells him that, we belong to you, we obey you now. The wife belongs to the husband, and they must obey the husband. Christian's husband, he always put Christ first in his life. Luke 14, verse 26. I must love his wife, but he must love Christ more.
Yes.
The husband is the priest of the family and is responsible to establish a family altar for daily family worship. He's responsible for grace at meals for the whole family. Job chapter 1, verse 5. There must be God-fearing mother in the family. All great men, they have two women in their life. Two loving women in their life. One a godly mother or a devoted wife. They are tremendous assets in the life of a man. The wife's first duty is to love and serve Jesus Christ. Luke 14, verse 26. The wife's second duty is to obey her husband. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Sarah was very exemplary. 1 Peter 3:6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. This is a hard lesson for the modern wife. But she can never be a happy, God-blessing woman until she submits to the plan of God in her life. 1 Timothy 2:11-15. Eve was first in the transgression in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 is the wife that first committed the sin. If the husband is unsaved, the wife will have to become the spiritual head of the home, yet in subjection to her husband. God will give wisdom and grace. God's ideal of Christian home is where both parents love Jesus.
Yes.
Wives are not only so to respect and obey their husband, but they are to love them too. That's Titus 2:4. Husband need a great deal of affection, and this affection must be given by the wife. The woman should not adorn ornaments. Modesty and sobriety. 1 Timothy 2:9. Women must dress in a godly way.
Yes.
Good wives and good mothers are wonderful gifts from the Lord. They are a tremendous blessing for their husbands and their family. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Proverbs 31:12. She will do the husband good, not evil, all the days of her life. Wives need to be appreciative and praise occasionally, because wives, they do a lot of work in the home concerning the husband and their children. Proverbs 31:28. Their children, they rise up and call them blessed, and the husband also praise them too. God-fearing parents. A home cannot be happy without children. The parents who deliberately hinder the birth of family are disobeying God and waiting for judgment. God's order is be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 1:28. In some cases, parents pray for children. Their prayers are denied temporarily or permanently. Anna didn't give birth to children on time. Prayer can have two or three answers. Yes, no, or wait for women looking for children.
Yes.
Parents are to realize that their children are precious heritage from the Lord.
Yes.
Parents are to love their children, Titus 2:4. Parents are to bring up their children to the Lord at early age, Matthew 19:13-14. Parents are to train and discipline their children for the Lord, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is whole, he will not depart from it.
Mm.
Parents, be sure that you bring your children to Sunday school and church. Teach the children Bible stories at home and give them a part in family prayers. In Luke chapter 2, we saw Jesus sitting by the doctors, listening to them and asking questions. Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge and in favor with God and man. Teach the children to obey God and the law of the country. Deuteronomy 32 verse 46. Eli was punished because he couldn't control his wicked sons. Parents are to provide for their children food, clothing, and all necessities they need for education, to choose their vocation. 1 Timothy 5:8. Parents are not to provoke their children to wrath by shouting on them all the time. Ephesians 6:4. Sometimes when the parents quarrel, the frustrated one out of the parents releases the pent-up feeling by whipping the children.
Yes.
Above all, let godly parents pray for their children that they will be saved. Pray that they will overcome sin. God-fearing children, the last one, Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Isaac was a simple Larry in Genesis 22 by carrying the wool without murmuring. Samuel was first exemplary with obedience, even in the middle of the night. Jesus was a child that is obedient to his parents. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. So, to conclude this, the secret of successful Christendom is in the family altar, where Christ is crowned as head of the home, and love is the second secret. May God bless the hearing of his word.
Amen. Hallelujah. That is wonderful. Yes, who is wonderful is Jesus. Who is wonderful?
Wonderful is Jesus. Wonderful is Jesus. Who is wonderful is Jesus. Want to praise the Lord. We will praise and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, who is excellent, is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I tell you, those are great nuggets for home, family, and marriage. See, because the family, the nation is built on home, and families, and marriage. Well, can you answer one or two questions? The questions are, why are marriages unhealthy today? Why are they unstable? And the love and unity is not there. There's a lot of compromise. There's a lot of turbulence. in homes and marriages and families today. What do you think are some of the reasons for this?
The reason for that is some people, they don't read the Word of God on a daily basis. It's the Word of God always that sustains people. We have been told that this world is long-suffering. If you read the Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, you will read everything there, self-control, patience, perseverance. But one can only wonder, marriage is long-suffering. Marriage is long-suffering. I know it's not easy to say one should suffer for long, but the only way one can overcome it is by trusting God.
Yes.
It is by trusting God. The main thing is trusting God and reading the Word of God. The Word of God is the only comfort. The Word of God is what will tell you the truth. And God is very faithful. If you are reading the Word of God on a daily basis, any problem one is going through, immediately you just read the Bible, it will just point out the exact solution to one's problem.
Yes.
Reading the Word of God and trusting and relying on God and knowing that this world is not our own. We have no control over anything. We should recognize the abiding presence of God in our home and that Emmanuel God is with us in everything we are going through. No matter how bad the situation is, Emmanuel God is abiding with us in our home. Only trust him and pray and praise God. Praising God will remove the sorrow. There's nothing God cannot do in any situation of life. It turns impossibility to possibility. That's why we must trust him and read the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We praise God. If we can speak in tongues, we speak in tongues. When you do all this, we will have peace and rest of mind. If it is even a financial problem, we are told that silver and gold, Jesus was made poor that we might be rich. The only thing is just ask from me. If you ask from him, he said, John 16, verse 24, ask from me, you have not asked me. If you ask me, your joy, I will give you whatever you want, and your joy shall be full. So pray continuously without stopping. God told us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5, he said, trust God. So in whatever situation you are going through and continue in prayer, you trust God concerning that situation and you continue in prayer. And that prayer must be prayer with which you must use the Word of God for. And God will help us in every situation we are passing through that is above our control. We must know that Jesus Christ is in control of all situations of our life.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We're making a research about the reason why homes, families, and marriages became unsteady in this generation. And we came across the word women liberation. Women liberation is a movement because let women be free to do whatever they want to do. They should not be held down. They should not be told what to do. They should be left to do whatever they want to do. Because it's women's liberation movement. And this type of movement, do you think it is useful to Christian marriage and Christian home, women liberation, let woman be left to do whatever she wants to do, even though she's married, she should be left to do whatever she wants to do, whatever she feels like doing. How does this affect the home and family and marriage, women's liberation? Yes.
God does not liberate any woman, but the will of God should be done in the life of the woman. God has not told any woman to be liberated, but to submit to the husband, doing the will of God. The will of God is the most important thing. If the woman do the will of God, she is automatically liberated. God will be her defense, and God will be her refuge, and God will be her fortress. Jesus told us in Genesis chapter 26, in Matthew chapter 26, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." If Jesus can submit to the will of God, we women too, we should submit to the will of God in whatever we do, not looking for any liberation. It's only God that will liberate one. We are told that God delivers and saves. God delivers and saves. He did not say we should deliver ourselves or liberate ourselves. He said God delivers and God saves.
And then we also came across the word gender strife. Gender strife is also another movement. Women who believe that a man should not dominate their life, they believe that they are equal with man, and for that reason, they should lead a home or lead a family. And it's very apparent in some homes. You get to some homes, the family, it is the woman that dictates everything. She controls, she dictates, control the man, control everything, tells what must be done and must be done, or there will be problems. There is a movement called gender strife. This is a group of women who also believe that they are equal with men, and so they are not supposed to be submissive to any man or be under any man. They should be, they are equal to a man, and so they are also a man. I've even seen some women calling themselves man. They say they are no longer women. Even though they are born women, they say they are not a woman. They say they are man. So there's this, you know, this conflict. How do you see this in view of what is we speak about marriage, home, and family? How do all these things come to play? How can we put it all together? Is it true that a man is equal to a woman, and a man, gender strife, man, woman trying to rule, trying to lord herself by man, usurp? Yes, they use the word usurping authority, trying to usurp authority over their husband. Is this biblical? Is this something that will help the home and the family? How do you see this?
It will ruin the home. That's disobedience. It's disobedience unto God. Because God says the woman should submit to the husband. No matter how rich the woman is, even if it's the woman that is making the most money in the family, he must still be submissive to the husband. By a woman wanting to be competing with the husband, is a disobedience unto God Almighty. Women must follow the example of Sarah. When Sarah is calling Abraham his Lord, if Sarah is calling Abraham his Lord, women should take an example of humility. Even Jesus Christ is very humble, washing the feet of his disciple. Jesus is humble, washing the feet of his disciple. Who is a woman that we pride? We can see at the example of Nebuchadnezzar, when he was so proud, God asked to send him to the wilderness for 7 years until he learns the supremacy of God Almighty upon his life. Any woman that is pride, that is contending with the husband,
will be put to shame.
Yes.
And there will be no God peace in that home. It's better
mm-hmm.
for that woman to be obedient and to be humble.
Hmm. Man. Yes, thank God for that. See, Abraham's wife, Sarah, called it, first day of the 3 verse 6, they call Abraham Lord. In this generation, it is very difficult to see any woman who will have this attitude of Sarah. You know, the attitude of Sarah, you know, when she called Abraham Lord, it was not just the verbal calling of Abraham Lord. It is the submission to the God of Abraham. You know,
yes.
It is the obedience, the submission to the God of Abraham that made Sarah to call Abraham Lord. And in today's world, you can hardly see somebody like Sarah, because today's world is about gender strife, it's about women's liberation, it's about power tussle in the home, it's about usurping authority over a man, it's about trying to rule over a man and a home. We see when God created Adam, and then later created Eve, he said, Eve should be a helpmeet to Adam. But it didn't go that way. Eve was rather on her own. There was something I saw in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 today. As I was meditating on those scriptures, I noticed that Eve was on her own. Inside the same Garden of Eden, Eve was sitting somewhere far away from Adam. Adam was somewhere far away from Eve. And so it was very easy for Satan, you know, come in the disguise of a serpent, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, in the disguise of a serpent and deceive Eve and made Eve to, you know, to first of all fall away. And after she fell away, she made Adam to fall, and all of them fell and backslid and fell away from grace. The togetherness was no longer there. A threefold cord is not easily broken. He said, two are better than one. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve were together somewhere and then the serpent was trying to enter and then both of them, you know, rebuked that devil and the devil ran away? That would have saved the whole situation. But as I was meditating on those scriptures today, I said, this lack of submission, this woman trying to do her own, didn't start today. See, because this is Adam, this is Eve. In the garden, the same Garden of Eden, Eve was somewhere else inside the Garden of Eden. Adam was somewhere else inside the same Garden of Eden. So it was easy for Satan, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, to come under the disguise of the serpent to go and deceive the woman. The Bible called women weaker vessels. The Bible refers to women as weaker vessels. And so they went to the weaker vessel and convinced her and made her fall. And so it was easy to launch the attack. See? So you see that these are the factors. Why will you want to be on your own? Why will you want to go away from under authority? See? And when you went away from under authority, it was easy for you to receive attack. It was easier for you to receive attacks because you're no longer under authority with your husband. All these things matter. Then I was looking at Jezebel. This is King Ahab, and then this is Queen Jezebel. Ahab, we have learned to worship the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But Jezebel rather brought false gods and brought them and, you know, led her husband Ahab to go and worship Baal and eventually making the whole Israel to worship Baal. And they were all worshiping Baal with the 454 prophets of Baal. So Jezebel usurped authority. Jezebel had usurped authority over Ahab and had made Ahab to go and worship Baal, and then consequently made the whole Israel to worship Baal. But Elijah didn't like this. And he rebuked Jezebel, and the contents of Mount Carmel decided what was going to be. We've got to serve the real God, not the God of Jezebel. See? So these are many things that are happening. Why will you not accept your husband's religion? You don't want to accept your husband's religion. You want to make your own religion. You want to make your own way. You want, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is destruction. This trying to make your own way, that is where the trouble is coming from. I remember in the days when our own parents married our fathers, far back in the 40s and in the 50s, and into the 60s and the 70s, the woman was, you know, always looked to the husband for leadership. You always find out, what does the husband want me to do? What can I do now? What should I do? Every little thing was ordered by the husband. But in today's world, you see women coming with their own agenda. They have their own program. They have their own activities. They have their own calendars. They have their own projects. The house is divided. But everybody is pretending that all is well. A lot of things are happening. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, a lot of things are going on under the carpet. Only God will really intervene. Our prayer tonight is, God, heal every home, every family, every marriage, every institution where the devil has placed a hole. We're going to pray, God, to rebuke those spirits. We're going to pray for the spirit of love and peace and joy, oneness and singleness of heart, because the Bible says the two shall become one. The two shall become one, but now the two are not one at all. The division is very, very clear. Everyone is trying to do his own, doing their own other things. These are confusions. God intends that there should be unity and love and peace and oneness and singleness of heart in the home, in the family, and in the marriage. God didn't intend that there should be division. There should be hatred, selfishness, and greed in the home. It is the reason the children are not well trained. Say, train up a child in the way it should go. Proverbs, book of Proverbs. Withhold not the rod from the child. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And then Proverbs 13, verse 24. Withhold the rod, and the child will spoil. Look at the children. The children are not disciplined. And the children are left to do whatever they want to do. The children can tell their father and their mother, shut up. They can carry gun and shoot their fathers and shoot their mothers. The children, they tell you they don't want control from anybody. And several of them are in jail, several of them are in the prison, several of them having issues. This is not fair. In a home, there should be discipline for the children, for the family. There should be peace, there should be love, there should be oneness, there should be singleness of heart. People should work together in one accord. And when the family is, there's this song we need to sing, when Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home.
Oh, when Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. Oh, happy, happy home.
When Jesus in the family,
family, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. When Jesus in the family. Happy, happy home, oh, happy, happy home.
Happy home. When Satan's in the family, trouble every day.
When Satan is in family, trouble every day, trouble every day.
Yes. When there is no vacuum in the realm of the spirit, there is no vacuum in the realm of the spirit. When Jesus is in the family, it's a happy, happy home. So if Jesus is not there, it means Satan has gone in there. When Satan is in a family, it is trouble every day. See? Because Satan is the troublemaker. The demons are manifesting. And it is quarrel. It is debate. They don't agree. See? How can two work together except they be agree? Agreement, unity. One accord, then God moves and things begin to happen. You know, this is very important when there is love and unity in the home, and there is peace and oneness and singleness of heart in the family. The peace of God has passed every human understanding. And it affects the whole community, and they affect the whole nation. Can you imagine if every family there's love and peace and unity and oneness, you know, and singleness of heart? The other day in the news, they said a man who was flying an airplane carrying passengers, hundreds of passengers, across the Atlantic. He was disturbed from home. It was disturbed, you know. Don't know what happened. Something must have transpired between him and his family. And he went and fly the plane, and in anger, he flew the plane into the ocean and landed in the ocean. Make sure everybody perished in the ocean. You know, that problem now, you know, starting from home, and then it has come as a public problem. There was another instance, someone drove across a bridge and hit the bridge, and then the car went into the sea and plunged into the water, and the person died. And he wrote a note at home before he left. It's all prompted from family issues and home issues and all these things. We want to pray today that Jesus will be in every home. The devil should not go there at all. When the devil comes into homes and families, he's there to tear down, to destroy. You know, John 10:10, the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. Abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life Jesus gave to me. Abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life Jesus gave to us. Abundant life Jesus gave to us. We want to pray now. We want to pray. Our prayer is, God, Lord Jesus, come and dwell with us in our homes, in our families, in our marriages, in our children, so that the devil will not come and cause confusion among us. We don't need Satan. We don't need the devil. We don't need the demons. We don't need the enemies of righteousness. We need the Holy Spirit to come and dwell. We need Jesus. We need God to come and dwell in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our marriage, in our ministry. The Prince of Peace. You know, we're talking about the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. Yes, when the Prince of Peace is dwelling in a home, in a family, you can imagine, you know, the peace, you know, that overflow. So we're going to pray that prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Shall we pray that prayer? Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus, no God of heaven, in the name of God.
We want God
the
Father, God
of our children, in the homes of our children,
the Prince of Peace.
Oh Lord God, you are the Prince of Peace, you are the everlasting Father, you are the Counselor, oh Lord God of heaven, counsel us. Oh God, let there be peace in the marriage of our children, let the peace in the homes of our children and in all marriages, all over the world, national marriages, Church of God, oh Lord God, let there be the marriages of my children, O Lord God, in the name of the marriages of God in Jerusalem, the marriages of
national marriages,
O Lord God of heaven, in the name of God,
Church
of God, in the Church of God, O Lord God, peace and peace in the hands of Lord, O Lord God of every marriage, O Lord God of heaven.
Lord Jesus, dwell with the people.
No matches.
Let there be peace and love and joy.
God of heaven, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, remove confusion from our midst. Remove the devil from our midst. Remove Satan from our midst. Remove all demons from our midst. Remove the enemy from our midst. Remove the blood from our midst. From our midst, God, in the name of Jesus.
All over the world and the marriages of my children, peace and rest of mind in all my marriages.
And the Lord of love, the everlasting Father, we welcome you, Lord Jesus. His preeminence in our lives.
Father, abiding presence of God with us, Emmanuel, God be with us. All marriages, oh Lord God, all over the world, church marriages, all marriages, be with them in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Also, we want to pray one more prayer for those who marriages are not steady, they have troubles and problems going on. Some pretend that everything is okay, but everything is not okay. You see, from time to time, one day I went to, was it a McDonald's somewhere? And people, like a couple, they came into the McDonald's like a husband and wife coming in. Then they were talking. All of a sudden, they exploded. Very sharp quarrel. And they already told everybody that they were both married and they were, husband and wife, and everybody was happy. Now, the whole thing changed. In just a minute, it started exploding. And the man was telling the woman, if you want to go, you can go. The woman was saying, you go. This one said, you go. A lot of things like that are all over the place. And this is not healthy. These are dysfunctional homes and disoriented families. All is not well at all. We want to pray that God will reach out to such places and such people and heal those homes, heal those families, heal those marriages where there's so much confusion and conflict. There's so much problems there. You can feel it, you know, even though they pretend to be all right, but everything is not all right at all. So let us pray for that now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for peace to reign in various homes and families and marriages all over the world. Where there is confusion, there is problem, there is trouble, there is no peace, there is no joy, the people are fighting and quarreling, there is disagreement, there is confusion, there is hatred, there is malice. We bind those spirits of confusion, we cast them away from our lives, from our homes, from families, from marriages. We rebuke you, we plead the blood of Jesus against all of them. We command that they be rooted out in the name of Jesus. We pray for the peace of God.
God in marriages, O Lord God of heaven, in the name of Jesus. O Lord God, you are the only one that can give marriage no room for the devil and no marriages, O Lord God of heaven, in the name of Jesus. God Almighty, you are the only one that can give him peace in the marriage.
In the name of Jesus.
O Lord God, let them counsel the couple, O Lord God of heaven, and let there be peace in their marriages, O Lord God of heaven, in Jesus' name. The marriages of my children, they are covered with the blood of Jesus. O Lord God, abiding presence of God in their marriage, they give them peace and joy in the name of God. Emmanuel, God Almighty, be in marriages, and they be in the marriages of my children. O Lord God of heaven, and the marriage of the husband and the wife of my children, and non-marriages all over the one national marriage, church marriage, of everybody married in the church of God, married on all nations, abiding presence of God be with them in Jesus' name. God peace in the marriage, be the counsel law of all marriages in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes, so we're going to draw the curtain today. We're going to continue tomorrow, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow. Want to thank Evangelist Lanka Lawa for spending the time with us in sharing
our
ministry.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, sir.
Yeah, we pray God to continue to reward you and your family, long life and prosperity, the joy of God,
Amen.
The peace of God. Lord, continue to strengthen you and empower you, more grace to your elbow, more anointing,
Amen.
More favor for you and your family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
And thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity.
Yes, and link as many people that are on the social media, those who are on the phone and so on and so forth. God continue to bless you all. Thank you for participating and being a part of this broadcast. The Lord reward you all in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Let's say the grace. May the grace of our Lord
May
Jesus Christ.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much, sir, for giving me the opportunity.
Listen. From east to west, there is no other.